along the same line, this time when the Shah was overthrown in Iran and the Ayatollah Khomeini took over and canceled all of the contracts of the Iranian government with this country for arms, for munitions, weapons. They were building four destroyers, just happened to be building them down in some of Tennessee's home state. He was determined that the Navy would get these destroyers. Although I really felt, and a lot of people felt, that it were not designed or equipped for our Navy, and also they were a lot more luxurious than we would want for our Navy. And we didn't think that the government had anything to lose, because Iran had been required to keep a trust fund just in case this sort of thing happened. But Stennis didn't want those darn carrots, didn't want his shipyards and his state to lose those carrots. And he fought that thing and fought it, and went down to the Pentagon, and he just flat out, to the White House, and he just flat out, I know, laid the cards on the table to the president. The president called Secretary Brown in, told him to put those things in the budget. Now you wait and see. And now Stennis is supporting the SALT agreement. And it's just as clear as day that the deal was cut. But other than that, I'd have to say that he has sort of missed the integrity of the Senate. But that's that old kind of politics that the old timers engaged in. And it's perfectly legitimate as long as it's looking out for his home constituency. But when it comes to anything other than that kind of politics, John Stennis is one of the best men in the United States Senate. Herman Talmadge has the clearest, most logical, methodical mind. Any time that you hear his speeches on the Florida Senate, even though they're extemporaneous, it's clicking off 1, 2, 3 just like a computer.
Yeah, I was always impressed in the Watergate hearings with how he could nail a witness. Just have him on his knees in a few minutes. A few questions, and then he'd come right in.
That's right. And he still, in my opinion, is, even though notwithstanding all of these hearings, and we're probably going to end up with some kind of disciplinary action based on negligence, as far as I'm concerned. We've got the Moon Rocks and the Smith who are on that committee, and he takes the position anytime public charges are made against the senator, he has a responsibility of proving his innocence. And Senator Burdick is on that committee, and I can best describe him as a nice fellow, but nervous or erratic. I can best describe him by saying that he's been in the Senate 18 years and has never held a responsible position or subcommittee yet. And had never held one before he came up here. He'd run for governor, he'd run for judge, he'd run for everything in North Dakota and never been elected anything. Just happened to hit up on the Senate. But he came back one weekend from home and he said, oh, damn. The papers in my home state are already saying that all we're going to do is slap him on the wrist. And I said to him, Quentin, suppose somebody makes some serious charges against you and I happen to be on this committee. Would you want me to judge you based on the evidence? Or would you want me to judge you based on what I think the public reaction in my home state is going to be? And an interesting thing, Pete, in contrary to the practice in every court of the land, where a juror is charged not to read the papers or listen to media reports about these trials, the staff of the Ethics Committee, which is a bunch of young Turks, all bright, but, it's be a feather in their crown to bring down a United States Senator, has sent to each one of us on the committee each day in a sealed envelope, March sensitive, newspaper clippings from the Atlanta Constitution, the Atlanta Journal, two papers which everybody admits are biased. Except this week, when they did a favorable article on him showing the polls and reaction of people in Atlanta, they didn't show and send us out. And that has literally scared Verdi and Jack Smith to death. Now, that's not to say that Herman isn't guilty of doing what all of us had done. He had not looked after his office. But neither had I ever signed a voucher. I doubt my administrative assistant is the highest paid man in the office. I don't know what my man's paid, but it's in the 40s. And some of them are paid, or you can pay them, $52,000. Which means that an AA is not an intern or some flunky. He is a top flight executive. And if he can't run the office, the finances of the office, if you can't delegate him to him, then I don't know how a senator can operate. My office budget is almost $1 million a year. But anyway, notwithstanding the fact that he comes from the old political school, he's a man of great ability, great intellect, and I think a man of integrity, in keeping with what he believed to be what was right. And I know from my own experience that back before Watergate and before the federal election reform, those things were done. For instance, one of the things that sounds awfully bad was in a divorce action. His wife's lawyer kept pushing him about where you get your money from. And just sort of out of desperation, he says, I don't have to have much money. My friends look after me. Well, that sounds sort of bad, but then Governor Ellis Arnold, former Governor Ellis Arnold, you know, most people remember, who was sort of a reform governor in Georgia and always opposed to the Tammany people, came up and testified that it had been a practice from time immemorial in the state of Georgia that supporters of political candidates and office holders would from time to time hand them money, say, put this on your campaign expenses. And many times prior to 72, reporting laws were not, they were respected more in their breach, so to speak, than they were in the in what being upheld. And you didn't report. A man came along, he gave you a $100 contribution. He didn't mind giving you the $100, but he didn't want it reported in his name because he didn't want every politician in the country coming to him for money. So I'm not saying that that's right, but I'm saying it was a practice. Governor Arnold was right interesting. He had written a couple of books. And he was the one who got threw Herman out of the office of governor one time. So he testified that Herman was a man of great intelligence, good reputation. So the prosecutor, Erdley, read him some quotes from his own book about the Talmadge machine. He said, did you hear that name? Oh, yes. He said, well, did you think he was a man of good character and good reputation when you wrote this book? He said, oh, yes. Said, now, his politics was then and is now terrible. Says, I've never agreed with him on anything politically. But says he's personally he's a great man, a man of integrity. So I say Herman's a good man.
How did he ever hire Minshew? Did that ever come out with the...
Well, Minshew was hired like we all hire people, and this is one of the bad things about government. He would happen to be in the right place at the right time. Washington was in the early 70s, and I guess always had been, and is today just full of bright young people wanting to get in government. And so how do they get in? They come in, they take a job operating an elevator. Minshew took one as just a flunky on the Capitol Guards. And then some senator would come along after maybe a rush of mail on some given issue like the Panama Canal or some similar issue. And he'd be thousands of letters behind, and he'd pick up one of these bright young men that's come to know him and being nice to him and talk to him from time to time and say, how about coming and helping me be a legislative correspondent? And the first thing you know that you know, he sort of ingratiated himself to you, and you need an administrative assistant, and Ben Shue makes a great appearance. And I've never done a background check on but one man, and he should have done a background check, and he did.
Yeah. What I just read in the paper, he came across as so different from Senator Talmadge in his, in almost every way.
Biggest crook I've ever seen in my life. Well, it's about 9:25,
okay.
So I guess we
can go on up.